Well, I'm sure if you're a mom out there, you might be looking for the Kleenexes. The Maleks just have a way of tugging at our heart through the children's singing. And so we do want to welcome you to our Mother's Day services today. If you are visiting with us, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. We'd appreciate if you would fill that out. It's the connection card. And you can either turn that into the offering plate or turn it to the information center right out in our foyer. We do appreciate you visiting us today, and we are excited to be celebrating Mother's Day. And so for all of our moms, happy Mother's Day. We do have a special gift from the church for you as you exit the sanctuary this morning. We'd encourage you to pick up a rose. And so there's a rose waiting for you as you exit the services this morning. And so the ushers will have those available for you. And so again, happy Mother's Day. In honor of Mother's Day, one thing we wanted to do as a church, we have connection points with Life Choices, the ministry here locally that we've been connecting with here for a while. And so we're going to take time through the rest of May to have the baby bottle drive going on. And so if you are interested in helping out with the Life Choices ministry, the bottles are available out in the foyer, and I'd encourage you to stop by and grab one of those baby bottles and kind of create a donation for Life Choices. But in addition to that, in honor of our Mothers for Mother's Day, Tri-City is going to be making a donation as well from our church fund, just in support of Life Choices as we look to abolish abortion, and obviously that being our desire, and something that we pray for consistently as a church, and something that we just are very much dedicated to. We believe in life. And so so we're going to be making that donation. And then additionally, we do have a wedding coming up this Saturday. And so Trent and Sarah are excited. I had time with them this morning in ADF. And Trent is looking a little nervous. He is going to make it through. The joke came out this last week that for cold feet, you bring warm socks. And so he's ready to go for the wedding coming up Saturday. If you are going to be joining us, we encourage you to RSVP, and the details of that are in the bulletin. And then next Sunday, we want to recognize our college graduates and those with post-college degrees. And so if you are interested and be willing to be recognized next Sunday, we encourage you to get your information into the office here this week so that we can recognize you next Sunday in our morning service. Our missionary of the week are the Bunyans to Montana, and so encouraged for their ministry. Our youth mission trip was just recently there this last summer. Spent time with the Bunyans, and so it's been neat to have them plug into our ministry. They're relatively new to our ministry, but we're encouraged by what God is doing there. We received a letter. I'm just going to read a portion of that letter. Last October for Halloween, we had made up bags of candy along with a gospel tract and a Gideon New Testament. We parked near the road in front of the church and handed out bags to the trick-or-treaters who came by. Jay came by in his pickup truck loaded with grandkids. Since then, he has been reading one of the New Testaments his grandkids have gotten and has many questions about how it all fits together. He also purchased an old van from a pastor friend of ours who lives about 60 miles from here. There was a Bible in the van, and Jay has been reading the Bible and writing many notes. I spoke with Jay again this last week for another hour and a half, standing in the parking lot of the post office. He is really searching. He has not responded to our offer of a personal Bible study yet, but did visit our church last Sunday. Please pray for him. What an influence for God that he could be used if Christ would get a hold of his heart. So just continue to pray for Joy, or for Jay. And then one individual did just recently come to accept Christ. For the last couple of years, Carol has been reaching out to a lady who has been battling cancer. And we are thrilled to report that she came to full assurance of her salvation before she passed away just a few weeks ago. And so great ministry going on there in Montana. So as we pray here today, just remember the Bunyans and their opportunities there in Montana on the reservations and just the connection points that they have. Pastor.
Mother Tyson, well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. We're thrilled to have you here. We're especially blessed this weekend. We have our son, John. John's our oldest son. Stephanie, and then they have two children, Ella Jane and Beth Jane, so they're with us. So we're greatly blessed for talking to our mom. So John just, he said, Dad, you always embarrass me, so I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Great to have John. Great, what a great, wonderful Mother's Day. I was yesterday at Walmart, and I was getting some cheese slice, some American Swiss cheese, and I was asking the young man that was doing us the service, I said, what's your plans for tomorrow? What do you do for your mom? And that was an assumption that he had a mother, which I assume biologically he did, and it was an assumption that she was still alive, and indeed I hit all everything correct. And he said, I'm going to go with my mom. And he said, I'm not sure all what I'm going to do, but just I'm just going to go see my mom. And I told him, I said, you know, you can get your gift for your mom, cards for your mom, and you can do a lot of things for your mom. There's no substitute for just being with mom. And some of you are with your mothers this morning. We're thrilled to have you. Glad they could drag you out to church. Bless your heart. I'm glad you're here. Our services are really long, so just kind of factored into your iPhone here. So you've got an hour and 15 minutes. So if you're in an endurance mode on that iPhone, then you can kind of do the math. And it's ticking as I speak. We are thrilled, truly, to have you out. We have a lot of fun here in Tri-City. And more importantly, we're here to worship the Lord and love God and love others. This past week, we had a lot of challenges. We had the Michael Driscoll funeral on Friday up in Wheatland, Wyoming. Tremendous turnout. I think we had about 10 fire companies represented. We had about 15 pastors and churches represented. We had maybe a dozen or so of our own folks up there. The whole community kind of came together for Michael. Michael died in a tragic accident about a week and a half ago when his French truck turned upside down, threw him and the driver out. Both were killed instantly. Age 21, so a very short life. I did speak on how God is able to bring beauty out of ashes. And God is able to take the worst of situations and bring something good out of it, something beautiful out of it. And we're trusting God to do some great things, even with the loss of Michael. Some of you are aware that Norman Newman's son died this past Thursday, age 49. His funeral will be here at the church this Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So if you pray for Norma, her family. And then we did get word that Carol Neese's mother passed away, I believe, on Thursday as well. So we would pray for Ed and Carol Neese. We really would appreciate it. And then some of you are familiar with the Ed Nelson family, his wife Gyla. Her funeral is at 11 o'clock this week at Red Rocks Baptist Church down Morrison. So a lot of challenges, a lot of losses. We had a number of major surgeries this week. Some of you are aware that Rusty Kittles had a heart attack. Lord preserved his life. He had a 4-bypass surgery, I believe, on Tuesday, doing well. And Ted Engelbrecht through a bladder removal surgery. So a lot of challenges for our folks, and that's just a sampling of a very long list of needs within the church. So I'll pray for one another, and especially just pray for the Lord to bless our service this morning. We're thrilled to have you. If you're visiting, welcome here to Tri-City Baptist Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together and, as a family, enjoy one another, love one another, teach one another. And we are so thankful for this group of people. And the needs are so great, God. We think of Norma, the loss of a son. We think of the Driscolls, the loss of a son. We think of Carol Neese, the loss of a mother. All these things hitting around Mother's Day. We know there's never a good time to lose a mother or a son, and especially a challenging day for them. So give them grace, comfort them. We pray for those who have been mentioned here with surgeries recently, that they would recover well, be strong, and be able to get back into the mainstream of their lives. And then we do thank you for our missionaries. We thank for the Bunyans up there at the Indian Reservation, that you'd use them. Thank you for their endurance, their love for the people. Continue to bless that work. And Lord, for this morning, I want to thank you for my mom. I want to thank you for my mother-in-law, my grandparents, my stepmom, and how you've put each in my life at certain times for certain purposes. And I thank you, Lord, for mothers. I thank you for my wife. We, as husbands, were to rise up and praise her and
may our children likewise arise and praise their mother, especially on this day, such a fitting day for that to be done. We pray for this offering and the remainder of the service that you bless it, use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. for our children, our young adults. This song especially brings out to you, stay faithful. As you grow up through this church, as you go out to serve the Lord, remain faithful. Turn your back on the God of your youth, the God of your father and your mother. Number 429, if you need the hymnal, may the Lord find us faithful.
Oh,
like today. So if you could turn to Proverbs 31. I think that song, A Passion for Thee, I wrote that song with a friend of mine. He did his internship with us at a former ministry in Clemson. We knew him very well. He would end up getting married. He was not able to make his wedding for some reason or another. It was a state wedding. Be married and would have 8 kids. Of course, quite a family. And then his wife and the mother of those children had some real spiritual issues. And really went off the deep end spiritually and really undermined so much of that gentleman's work. And it's amazing the difference of what a good wife can be or mean to a man, and then someone who's not walking with the Lord, what damage can be done to a home. And it's so important to have both moms and dads on board spiritually and serving the Lord and loving God and walking with Him. And I'm just going to urge all of us today. It's Mother's Day. And more importantly, it's the Lord's Day, and the Lord wants all of us to walk with Him, to know Him, to love Him, and serve Him. But especially this morning, I'd like to talk about the ABCs of praising moms, how to do it. We're not all real good at it at times. We don't say enough. We don't say we love one another enough. We don't praise one another enough. And often our mothers, our wives, have not received really the praise that is rightfully due them. And so this morning we're going to try to improve that skill of praise. So Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 and following. As we start the chapter, just to kind of lay the groundwork for the acrostic in verses 10 through 31, you have the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So we likely the whole chapter is the words of King Lemuel. I don't think it just ends at verse 9. I think his mother has 3 things to teach him that we're going to see briefly this morning. And then Lemuel picks it up and likely is praising his mother in verses 10 through 31. Or it's possible he's praising his wife, or some might think that he's praising both, but both are under consideration, or both are possibilities. But look at this influence of a mother on a king. There's this trinity of questions that is raised here. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? And you're hearing from the heart of a mother who is challenging her son, who's in a tremendous position of influence, to be holy, to be godly. And she's reminding him of really her role in his life, even from pregnancy. What the son of my womb? And for any of us who have been brought into this life, which is all of us, we had a mom, and that was a challenging process. When you look at Genesis, when man sinned, the man was to work by the sweat of his brow. It was going to be an all uphill battle against thorns and thistles. And very tedious, very demanding, a war, you could say. And then part of the consequence of the fall for the woman was to suffer pain in childbearing. And you who are mothers, you understand that. And she remembers that. And then she says, and what the son of my vows? And so this was a mother that made promises to God, likely before even this boy's birth. The name Lemuel means devoted to God. So she likely prayed something to this effect, Lord, if you bless me with a child, or with this son, if you give grace, give me the grace to raise this child in a godly manner. May he be devoted to you. May he serve you as a great asset for the cause of God. So there are 3 topics that this mother is going to teach to Lemuel. And this is not my message this morning, but it leads into our text, verse 10. Something my wife and I, and more me than my wife, told the kids. Girls are bad. Except your mom, your grandmother, your wife, sister. So there's some restrictions to that phrase. But girls are bad. And so she teaches them here, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So she's exhorting this gentleman to be morally pure, not to violate that covenant of companionship called marriage. And if he goes against that teaching, will undermine his ability to rule as a king. His credibility will be lost. And so girls are bad. Secondly, also in conjunctions, a bad combination. she says to Lemuel, booze is bad. You put booze and babes together, or women and wine together, that's a bad combination. She's telling right off the bat. So for our poor kids, we would read a chapter or a passage from Proverbs each day for their teenage years. So they heard about bad women and booze, I mean, over and over and over. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So girls are bad. Booze is bad. And then she goes to the offense here on the positive, and she says, helping others, in essence, is good. Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb. Be active. Don't be passive. Don't sit back. Be proactive in helping people, especially those who are less fortunate. In the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You know, this morning, Pastor Tyson mentioned about the baby bottles. You're not familiar with that. Our local pregnancy center hands out those baby bottles, and the intent is to fill those up with quarters or dimes or whatever, and then turn that to them. That helps them run their ministry there with the intent to give women who are pregnant, who are have an unwanted pregnancy, rather than to abort that child, to do everything in our power in a cooperative sense to see those children go through a full pregnancy and be born into this world and be adopted or whatever they can do to help. So for us, this is a terrible sin in our country, a terrible sin. Folks who have taken their children and assigned them no rights, even as we view God as a creator of life. And that child, that is a human being in the womb. And so open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And so Lemuel's mother says, helping others, this is good. Other things are bad, these are good. And then as we move into verse 10 in just a moment, the whole theme here deals with a woman, whether it be a mother or a wife, who has got great qualities, great virtues. And so this passage is going to describe these characteristics of a honorable woman. And the result of that should be that her children arise up and call her blessed. And many a Mother's Day with our own boys, they'd wake up and they'd call Mom. They'd call her, "Hi, Mom, good morning, blessed." And that was nice that they used that one little word there, blessed. But probably we need to be more specific in which ways we can call our mom or our wife blessed. So the husband should join in on this. In fact, the husband should lead in the home in praising the wife. So the kids should watch Dad do this. Dad should learn very, very quickly how to praise his beloved, so that the kids see that, grow up with that environment, and learn very quickly to rise up likewise and call her blessed, and then down the road, call their spouse blessed as well. So we're going to be looking at the ABCs. The title that we have for the message is basically because of the structure of verses 10 through 31. So verses 10 through 31, there are 22 verses in this poem. And unlike our English language, we have 26 letters in English. The Hebrew language of the Old Testament has an alphabet of 22 verses. So not on a lot of occasions, but when you see the Old Testament, especially in Psalms with 22 verses, often they're in the form of an alphabetic poem, or what we would call an acrostic. And what I mean by that, in verse 10, the Hebrew verse starts off with the Hebrew letter Aleph, A. The second verse, verse 11, begins with the Hebrew letter Beth. The third verse in this poem begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Gemel. And the fourth verse begins with the Hebrew alphabet letter Daleth, and it goes right down to the 22nd Hebrew letter, the letter Tau. So we would say A to Z. The Hebrew would say Aleph to Tau. And in the Old Testament, you have these acrostics. I'm giving you a list, and actually I left one out by accident, so I apologize there to you. There's Psalm 34 should be added to that list, so if you would like to look at these poems later. Probably the most pronounced of all the acrostics in the Old Testament would be Psalm 119. There are 22 divisions. Each of those divisions have 8 verses. And each of those eight verses begin with the same Hebrew letter. So in Psalm 119, the first eight verses all begin with Aleph, 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 all the way down eight times. Next eight verses, all of them begin with faith, 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 right down the list. And so on through those 22 divisions of that psalm. Very elaborate, very intense psalm, focusing on the comprehensiveness of the Word of God. And so this section here, the A to Z, dealing with the virtuous woman. So we're looking at the classic passage in all of the Bible on biblical womanhood. So if you want to study the topic, we're in rich ore as we work through this particular section. So hopefully this morning we're going to look at these characteristics of virtue, and hopefully the children will pick up on this and praise the mom on some of the categories that are given here. Just a couple guidelines for this message so we don't get run off the rails. We're going to look at 36 qualities where we have opportunity to praise a mom or wife. 36, that's a lot. And that's my organization of the poem. There may be more. This is not to be a report card where the husband says, I got the 36 points here, and four of them I give you high grades. So if he comes and praises you today, I got four I want to talk about, I want to praise you, and leaves off the other 90% of the statements, this could be a very unpleasant Mother's Day when she goes home and hears a limited praise and says, this is a disaster. I feel like such a loser. So this is not to be a report card. This is simply a springboard. Or, hey, here's some topics to be more specific. So someone might come out after the service. This happens once every 3 years. Or someone will say, Pastor, that was a great message. Okay? That was a great message. And I'll say, oh, wow, my head's getting big. Great. But you know what I want to hear? Why was it a great message? Tell me more specifics. Tell me more about me. Okay? You know, it's our selfish self-absorption. And the mother, the wife, they want to be praised, but they want to know why. They want more details. The kid comes home from school, and mom says to the kid, you know, how was school today? What's the boy say? Huh? Run. And then he spits out laboriously, good. Okay, good. What does that mean? Good. Tell me more about your day. I want more details. So all I'm doing this morning is giving you some potential topics, details, where you can zero in and say, honey, hey, you are a great wife, and here's a specific one of the specific reasons why I can say that. So we're going to be looking at the wife's virtues, her strengths. And also as we work through this, for our mothers and our wives here, I also don't want you to leave from this message and say, that was a disaster. I feel like this. I feel like this for our deaf ministry. Loser. Okay? Amen? Okay? So, who can find a virtuous woman? The implication is, what I'm going to describe here is very difficult to find. And it's a goal, it's a target, it's a model, it's a template for every godly woman to strive after. And so if the Holy Spirit convicts you on a topic to work on, I'm not going to say don't listen to the Spirit of God. But again, my motivation is for your children and for your spouse to be able to come home and say, you know what, that was really helpful. Mom, you are such a good woman. And for these reasons, I just want to thank God for you. So that's my motivation. This is not a report card for your spouse and your kids to grade you. It's not for you to go home and say, I'm a loser. Also, as we work through this passage here, you're going to see a lot on work, the work ethic, the industry of a woman, the diligence of a woman. I don't want to communicate, just be incomplete, for a woman to say, oh, I get it. I just need to be a workhorse. And no, that's not the message either. Or I just have to be an Amazon woman, okay? Or maybe there's some single guy here saying, I got to get married and I got to find a woman like this, this workhorse, this Amazon woman. And some of you might say, you know, why do that? I can hire out for this. I can hire out meals. I can hire out these different things that are listed, right? So to put this in balance with Scripture, this chapter in poem especially is dealing with character. And very important character, enormous virtue, strengths. So as a man looking for a woman, this is a good template to look at, and you're going to look at, yes, work ethic is very important. But there also needs to be attraction. There also has to be chemistry, we could call it, or desire. And what book in the Bible stresses this focus that a man should desire his wife? He should have attraction. There should be chemistry. Which book of the Bible gives you that focus? Song of Solomon, 117 verses of sacred mush. So put Song of Solomon, romance, sacred mush, and couple it. Hey, I'm a chemistry, but I also am looking for a woman with this kind of character. And what often happens is in couples, they're attracted outwardly, externally, physically, chemistry-wise, and they never look beyond that to look at the character of the individual. And that's unfortunate. I think both should be kept in tension here and balance. So let's begin with these 36 qualities, and we'll go through them rather quickly, because some of you would like to take your moms out for lunch. The beauty of a long message, if I can encourage you, this is the number one day of the calendar for people going to restaurants. So by the time I am done, the first wave is probably done. So the lines, I'm doing you a favor, okay? So think of it in those ways. I'm doing you a favor this morning, right? So let's talk about these qualities that kind of pop out of passages. I'm going to just look at them quite simply. So let's begin. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. It's fascinating as you work for this unit that the foundation, the base for praise, the base of this relationship is this concept called trust. And I think at the heart of a healthy relationship, there's got to be trust. The Christian life begins when we trust God. He's trustworthy. He died for us. He rose again. He offers freely salvation. He is an amazing God. He only speaks the truth. He is reliable. He is steadfast. He's unmovable. He's an amazing, immutable God. Trustworthy. So we're not like that in an impeccable sense, but that's our goal, to be like the Lord and to be one that people can trust. And in marriage, it's wonderful when the husband can say, I safely trust in your judgment, your decisions, your purchases, the way you do life. I just trust you inherently. That's a really good place to find yourself. When we came out here in 2002, our life was rather complicated. We weren't planning to move when we were asked to come here. So we had a lot of things that were already in place, and we had to work through them. So I remember saying to Elisa, I said, honey, I would really like to go out and shop and find a house. This is very important to me, but you're seeing the calendar. There's just not much time even to do it. So why don't I fly you out to Denver for a week, and you find a house. If you like it, I'll like it. Okay, real simple. So I gave her a couple guidelines. You have to have a view of the mountains. It has to back up to an open space. We gave her kind of some criteria within this budget, you know. But I trusted her, safely trust her. I trust your judgment. You know what we need more than anyone. So she came out and she found a house. And we had some correspondence. I said, let's do it. You like it, I like it. Let's go for it. So she bought the house. That's a major decision, especially out here. That's a major decision. I trusted her fully. It was rather comical that week. She got us in a contract there, came up to the church. Pastor Joe Taylor was our Young and Heart pastor, and he and a couple others said, hey, I heard you found a house. That's great news. Can we go and look at it with you? And she said, yeah, that'd be great. So our house was 1 mile from here. And so she took several from the staff and their families or whatever combination. She could never find the house. She could never find the house. We're country people at heart. We are country people at heart. She could never find a house. So she would say, well, it looks a little like this. But the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. The word spoil here is a military metaphor. It deals with the plunder from victory, or the plunder of war, the gain from defeating an enemy, the fruit of victory. So in essence, when you put these this couplet together, he has confidence in her. He trusts her fully. And she's not draining the family. She's not defeating the family. She's not undermining her husband. It's just the opposite. She's walking with God. There's victory. And he realizes her choices and the consequence of those are going to be uplifting and edifying and helpful to the family. She's not plucking down her home with her hands. It's a beautiful text. So hopefully you can praise your spouse, your mom, for being trustworthy and for being really one who's victorious, who's not living in defeat, bringing your family down. In the next text, verse 12, she will do him good. Wow. You didn't get it, and not evil. And then it says, all the days of her life. So it's one thing to occasionally do someone good, but to do it consistently, day in, and week in, and month in, and year in, and decade in, that's a whole different story. And so he is praising her for doing him good. And he's realizing that she's putting together quite a string of this type of life towards him. That's a beautiful passage, really. All the days. You know, we have a wedding next week unless Trent backs out of it, which I don't think he will. He's got too much invested in it. I did laugh at his Facebook when he said last night and the night before, this is our last official date. I was like, oh, Trent, hopefully it's the beginning of many more. You always want to keep dating your wife. You got to keep dating your wife. Keep dating your wife. That's so important, guys. And I don't think he's saying he wasn't going to do that. I'm not sure where this is going. But when you get married, you say something here. You make a vow. And you say, for better or for worse. And we're going through a challenging time of cancer, but we did say in our vows, for sickness or in health, we said that to God. We said it to each other. We said it before, a church family and family. And we meant it. Now, we said things like that. We didn't know exactly what that might mean down the decades. Had no idea. Most young couples don't. But that vow you made to one another and you made to God, I believe you need to keep it by the grace of God. And not just keep it out of, I'm just going to grunt my way through this. I'm going to I'm just going to do it, you know. No, it's to be done joyfully under the Lord. And so this is wonderful. Praise you. We've been married for 37 years. I am so glad the Lord brought us together. We've had our ups and downs. What couple hasn't? But she's done me good. She doesn't run me down. If you run me down in front of Elisa, woo-wee. B-5-0-fum. Good luck with that. Tell me how that works out. Puff the Magic Dragon? I mean, you're going to be burned. I mean, she's my greatest fan. She's my greatest fan. And there's times she could say, yeah, I agree with you. And she doesn't. You know, with Solomon, when he and the Shulamite were having problems and she's chasing after him trying to get things back together and she runs into the daughters of Jerusalem and they say, well, tell us about your beloved. Tell us about Saul. We'd like to know some nitty-gritty. And boy, does she give them something they didn't think of, which concludes with a little phrase, he is altogether lovely. He's my friend. And that's my wife. She has done me good and not evil. All the days of our 37 years of marriage, I praise you for that. Praise her for doing good. Praise her for commitment. Some of you are wavering in your commitment. You made a vow, keep it and ask God for grace. You need help, that's what a church is for. Let's help you. Praise for doing good. Praise for giving it. Numbers 5 and 6. Praise her for quality choices and praise her for being industrious. Proverbs 31:13. She seeketh wool. She goes to Hobby Lobby. Gets something from an animal. Wool, flax, something from the vegetation world. Really good quality materials. And then she worketh willingly with her hands. So she makes good choices. She knows how to take those choices and make something out of it. And again, you'll see this. You'll see the word hand or hands throughout the whole passage. The work ethic. I would say some of the finest times my wife has had with my mom at the farm is out in the barn.
Don't go out in the barn. And my wife knows which end of a pitchfork to use. She knows what a wheelbarrow is. We have horses and we have stalls. My mom and Elise will go out, and she'll work as hard as anyone there in that county of New York. And they'll work and they'll talk. They'll talk and they'll work. And I tell you, that language means a lot. When we were up in when we go up to Wyoming to Camp Grace, I've said this to our work crews at various times. I said, look, we're from Colorado. We're greenies. We're city people. We're Front Range Colorado people. When we go up to Wyoming, it's a whole different culture and a whole different world. And you can talk all you want, but talk's not going to make much of an impression on folks. There's a language up there they understand. If you want to build relationships and penetrate and get some inroads, the language of Wyoming is a work ethic. Get to work. Mend the fences. Brand the cattle. Get out there and get your hands dirty. And here's a woman who works willingly with her hands. There's a work ethic being described in her. Praise her for her work ethic. The seventh and eighth points comes out of this text. She is like the merchant's ships. Now note that phrase, merchant ship. He's comparing her to a merchant ship. He is not comparing her to a battleship. Please catch that nuance. That's very important. And I am very much for buying American. I am a patriot through and through. But notice in this passage, she is willing to buy from abroad, from afar. And this is the word of God giving us some divine sanction that it's okay to buy stuff from overseas. You know, you got to pray for your philosophy of what you want to do. But she is interacting here, these ships that are bringing stuff here for her to purchase. And she's going to bring her food from afar. So apparently the ships are bringing stuff into the harbor. It's getting shipped through the nation of Israel. And she's buying some of these things. And especially the foods. So she's going to add a lot of variety to their menu. In fact, it's going to mirror the dinner table of King Solomon in 1 Kings 4, which is a fascinating correlation. But what we have here, she brings her food from afar. That might mean baklava, or English muffin, or French toast, or German chocolate cake, or hamburger from Hamburger, Germany. When we were in China, we had to have Beijing duck. She brings her food from afar. It might be tofu, it might be hummus. And our Koreans have a plate that they can import here too. Called kimchi. How many have ever smelled kimchi? You smell it before you eat it, I'll tell you that. She's like the merchant ships, and she brings in her food from afar. There's variety, there's diversity. Praise her. Praise her for being resourceful. Praise her for that diversity. In the next text, you have a number of things that to praise her for. She rises also while it is yet night. That means early in the morning. Lisa and I are early risers, and I'm usually up a little bit before her, 4:35, 5:30, whatever. And I can't sneak out of the room. It's like a mother with a baby in the crib. I can sleep through whatever. I can sleep with that baby crying on me. But that mom hears that little baby just shift, and she's alert, okay? And she's never lost that sensor. And I can't sneak out. I'll say, honey, please, just go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. She said, no. Up she goes. And it's still dark outside. Honey, you can rest more. No, I got to get to work. There's things to be done. We got a full day. She rises also while she's at night and gives meat to her household. Meat, more specifically, means food. She gives food. Praise your mom for her food, the things she makes for you. That was my wife's biggest fear when she married me, was that she was fearful of cooking for me. She only had 3 meals. And we're having one of them today, oddly. Spaghetti. She could make spaghetti. Good spaghetti. She could make meatloaf. And she could get shake and bake and put it in a bag of chicken. So one night we'd have shake and bake chicken, next night we'd have spaghetti, and then we'd have meatloaf, and then we'd have shake and bake, and we'd have spaghetti. We'd have meatloaf, and then the next night. And that it didn't go on for that long, 3-4 years. But as you can see, she did good. She did good. You've done good. Thank you. You're all doing good. She gives her meat to her household.
who knows the countless meals your mom's kids have made for you and will make for you. You thank her. I think it's so wrong when someone does something for you and a mom makes a meal not to thank her for it. Something's wrong with that picture. And it's not just something you do on Mother's Day. I thank you, Mom. You know, we would go out for lunch, but the restaurants are so long, we'd rather just be at home today. But she's making spaghetti, meatballs, really good meal. Can't wait. I'm actually getting hungry now. I'm going to cut my message short. And she gives a portion to her maidens. She takes care of her workers. She's sensitive. She's thoughtful. Beautiful text here. Praise her for these things. The next text, she considers a field, I love this, and buys it. And with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. This is remarkable. And I think a lot of people, Christians included, have a wrong view of womanhood. There's an arrogance that has sadly crept into some churches where the man is superior, the man is greater than, the man is this and that. When in reality, before Christ, we're on very equal ground. Now, there's a roles, the function of a man, a husband, and a function of a wife. There's complementary roles. There's very clear definitions given to that. But it doesn't make the man superior to the woman. And biblical Christianity, when it's properly understood, has elevated, exalted the woman to the position she should be in. So usually you think, well, the man's going to go out and buy a field. In this case, she's out buying a field. That's very impressive. How many of you men have said to your wife, hey, just go out and buy some property around Denver. Go ahead. Have at it. You know, my grandmother was like this. Sean's familiar with my New Jersey. Some of you are from New Jersey. We have Mrs. Malik and others. My grandmother, we lived in Philadelphia. She was very industrious. She was an incredible businesswoman. And so for an investment, she went down to the ocean and she bought a house. She bought the house. She considered it. She looked. She analyzed. She evaluated. And she got a house first in Wildwood. And then later she sold that for an enormous profit. And then she bought another house in Stone Harbor. She went out and bought that house. She bought it. And then she would rent the top part and the bottom part out. And she'd make money enough to free up weeks through the summer for all her five sons to have time at the ocean free. And then she sold that property for a ton of money when the family was not using it any longer. She considers a field. Hey, this takes vision. This takes analysis. Hey, you got to do your homework. Get the right house. Get the right field. This is a wise investment. And then she has all this purpose. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. And what's neat, her husband's not intimidated by her vision and her purpose, her goals, her big view. A lot of men are wee little men, where they feel in any way challenged by the wife. They put her down, they put her down, they put her down. That's sad. This text says, put her up. You praise her. You praise her for her industry. You praise her for her vision. You praise her for her desire to be fruitful. Verse 17. She girds her loins with strength. The idea is basically, we would say she rolls up her sleeves to get to work. She's ready to work. She's a worker. And it's amazing. You get together as a family today, see the folks after the meal who say, hey, let's roll up sleeves and let's get the dishes done together. Who are those folks ready to get to work, ready to get it accomplished? She girds her loins with strength and she strengthens her arms. And I don't think she's in the gym doing this. I'm not opposed to that. But I think the idea is she's ready to work and then she's going to get to work and she's going to finish the work. That's beautiful. When my mom remarried a man, my stepfather, who I love, he was a farmer. I was a spoiled athlete. So my workouts could only be done in a Nautilus gym. And when we started this New Glenn at home, he was saying, we got work to do. We have to cut the wood, we got to split the wood, we got to stack the wood. We got work everywhere. And I would say, well, I can't do that. I've got to go to the gym. And he was saying, what? Go to the gym? You can get your workout right here on the property, get some done. No, I can't do that. It's got to be an Nautilus machine. And we butted heads. I tell you, when we played football out here, I tell you the teams that gave us fits. When we played football out here, our boys played. It was the teams from the plains
It was the teams from the plains. They were farm strong. There's a difference between novice strong and farm strong. I guarantee it. When we went to play Simla out in the plains, we stopped at a mom-and-pop restaurant before the game, which we loved to do. We sat down, and as we were getting our meal, this monster rancher came through the door. He had to kind of wiggle his shoulders to get through the door. He filled the door. I mean, 6 foot six, whatever the width is. I mean, he filled the door. And I looked at my wife, and I said, oh, my, I'm scared to death. And she said, I hope his boy's not on the team. No, his boy wasn't on the team. Two of his boys were on the team. Because I asked them, do you have any boys on the team? Those kids were never in a gym lifting a pound of Nautilus equipment. They worked on their wrenches. They knock your block off from the line, I guarantee it. This woman here, she girds her loins with strength, and she strengthens her arms. Again, work ethic, guys, a work ethic. We're to praise her for her good work. She knows what her work's valued at. She has a good eye for this. She's got a business mind. And her candle goes not out by night. Now, you start putting these pieces together. She wakes up before light, and then she's working after light. That's a long day. That's a long day. I know that. You know, I had to tell my wife last night, honey, you need to go to bed. All that stuff can wait. In our 37 years of marriage, I can probably count on one hand how many times she let the dishes go to the next morning. And I hate it when she says this. I just get to sleep, and she says, I got to do the dishes. I'm saying, what? Are you kidding? Can it wait? And of course, she says, what?
No.
No. And then how do you feel as the guy? How do you feel? Yeah, Jim, about that big. Because she's not saying it, but the semantic value is what? It'll go a lot faster if you help. And you have no energy left. Because you want to watch the rest of the ball game. Are you kidding? Dishes over watching the football game? Are you kidding? You're asking too much. Her candle goes not out by night. I love this. When I see this text here, she lays her hands in the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. I tell you what, this comes to my mind. I see Rocky Balboa in the art gallery here. And I climb up and do the dance and jog and look down to Independence Hall, and down that direction, the little place where Betsy worked. And Betsy Ross, she did her weaving, and she put together a beautiful flag. She lays her hand. She is industrious once again. She's amazing what she's doing here with her hands. It's amazing. She's going to kill two birds with her work. She's going to make sure her family's properly equipped and clothed. And then she's going to make some money here, out of the home in this case. Praise her for being productive. Praise her for her handiwork. And then she's going to be stretched in other directions as well. I love this text. She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's a giver. She's at the food bank. She's looking around her community. Hey, where can I help? God's been so good to me. Who out there has a need? I'm gonna reach out to them. I'm going to stretch out my hands. And it's going to be some effort. But I want to be a blessing to others. That's a very special woman. We're rather than just spending what they have on themselves, they're looking to others to give to them that have less. That's a beautiful truth. My grandmother's like that. My wife is like that. Praise her. Praise her for being charitable, for being a giver. Praise her for being sensitive to the needs of others. That's so important. This is sometimes in our marriage where we give as a couple. So whatever I give, we give as a couple. Whatever she gives, we give as a couple. But there's been times where I've not been sensitive, especially in earlier years, to make sure that she's in a position that she can give. So important. Stretch out your hand and give to the others. In this text, praise her for her foresight and preparation. My brother calls my wife the danger ranger. In this text, I think it's okay to be the danger ranger. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So right now, it's whatever, May 12th. I'm not really as worried about my ski gloves right now and having the right stuff to go outside. But who knows, in Colorado you may need it. But she's looking ahead. She knows winter's coming.
And she wants to make sure when it comes, they're not thrown into a panic, but that that family has what they need when they need it. She laughs at the future because she's looking ahead. She's planning. Praise her for foresight. Praise her for preparation. Praise her for being aware of what needs to take place. Praise her. In the next text, she makes herself coverings of tapestry. And these are decorated spreads. I don't think they're quilts, perhaps. But I and we love quilts. Luann, thank you, beautiful quilt. Janie Campbell, wherever she is, thank you for the beautiful quilt. I can just think of the email address, Elk. Thank you for the quilt. We have four quilts because Elisa's issued four beautiful quilts. Someone took the time and they worked, made something for someone. In this case, she makes herself or her family these coverings. And her clothing is silk and purple. I think that's awesome. Silk and purple. That's nice material. That's a royal color. And I think it's very important to praise her for how pretty she looks, how pretty she dresses. I think that's something that has been given here in this whole unit. Praise her for how pretty she is. I'm looking around to make sure they're not here this morning. Okay, I think we're good. I think. I could get in trouble for this and probably shouldn't say it. I know I shouldn't say this. I apologize in advance. That's bad theology. But John saw this lady, and just being kind. Just being kind. John says, "Dad, you always embarrass me," and I haven't yet, so this is that moment. So he's trying to be nice to this lady, and he said, "Yeah, I really like your dress." And he's kind of fumbling around for a comparison, and it was a blue dress. And he said, "It's a nice dress, whatever. And it looks like it's blue, and it looks like the lining of a swimming pool." Let that sink in for a moment. What woman? What's her dress compared to the blue lining of a swimming pool? Are you kidding? Poor Stephanie. He's got a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother. But praise her. Praise her for how she dresses. Even if it looks like the lining of a swimming pool. Praise her for enhancing your good standing. I tell you, this is something. We have several retired, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 retired pastors here. You know exactly what I'm going to say, especially your wives on this. This text says, her husband is known in the gates. It was at the gates where business took place, where transactions took place, where justice at times took place. It was a work setting in many regards. So her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, he has an opportunity to be a man of influence. There's some respect here, some honor here. He's got his house in order because he's got a really good keeper of the house there, good house manager, a great companion. And because she is such a good wife, it allows him to go forward and do his work in the workplace. And I'll just share this with my wife and every pastor's wife here. What happens is you're called on to do certain things, and that's your calling, and you follow through with it joyfully. But it takes a wife to say, "Honey, wow, this changes everything, doesn't it?" "Yeah, it changes our plans a lot. I'm sorry. But I want you to do it. I want you to be a blessing to the family who just lost a loved one. We'll change our plans. We'll reboot, whatever." And behind so many decisions and efforts that go on in the gates for a man, behind that stands a good woman who sacrifices. And it's very, very real. I thank my wife for her support of ministry here and elsewhere. Praise her for freeing you up to do your work. Praise her for enhancing your good standing, your reputation, as seen in this text. Praise her for having a profitable skill. Sometimes you'll hear Christians say, "Well, the woman shouldn't work outside the house, or shouldn't have a job or a career." Well, at least study this passage and then make your evaluation view of it. She makes fine linen, she sells it. She has her own product line. She's in retail sales. She's making things. She's making an outer garment, and she's also making girdles and lily belts that both men and women can wear. But she's making money. She's contributing to the income of that family. And I know, at least with our situation growing up, especially in the earlier years, I wanted my wife to be home and especially focus on the partnering of bringing these kids up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That was our focus, and it was. The Lord allowed us to have the income where we could do that. And I strongly encourage that. Strongly encourage that. But to say that she couldn't have some other part in the family's income would be a violation of the principle in this text. She makes things. She sells it. She contributes to the family's income. Praise her for that. Praise her for her vision and her ability to balance some of these challenging things and paths. Praise her. Praise her for her beautiful spirit. I love this as we wrap this thing up. Strength and honor are her clothing. So, yes, she's wearing linen and purple. Outwardly, she's very pretty, very attractive, very well arranged. But here, there's strength, there's a confidence, is the idea of this word. There's a confidence, not in self. That's really bad theology. I think we go, when you start going down self-esteem, self-confidence, think through that a little bit. The object of our confidence should be Christ. Okay? He's the object. And as we're God-confident, there comes a confidence, not a cockiness, but there's a stabilizing force when God is the object, and when you recognize who you are in Christ and how you're made in the image of God. Those are some very esteem-worthy points. But here, she has the strength, there's a confidence in her God that brings a confident spirit to her life. So she's outwardly beautiful and attractive, but she has a splendid, beautiful spirit. It's her best wardrobe. And she shall rejoice in time to come. Wow. This is futuristic. She has an attitude that's contagious. There's an optimism. There's a hope for the future. Because she's walking with a God who's in control of the future. Praise her for a beautiful spirit. I think Katie had a magazine. Was that what it was called? The Beautiful Spirit. That's a nice title. The Beautiful Spirit. Praise her for being optimistic and hopeful about the future. Praise her for speaking with wisdom. You know, it's amazing the day we live in, really amazing when you see, let's say you're around the mall, whatever, and there's this beautiful lady, beautiful, let's say girl, teenage girl, 18, 19, and you admire the beauty, just from in a wholesome way, under the pure, all things are pure, I'm just saying, and then all of a sudden the girl opens her mouth, and you say, oh, she sounds like a sailor. It's like, oh my, okay? When this woman opens her mouth, she's taking the biblical knowledge of truth and she's applying it to life circumstances. That's called wisdom. She opens her mouth, there's wisdom. And in her tongue, the governing principle of her communication, please catch this. Praise her for speaking with wisdom. But praise her for speaking with kindness. And the Hebrew word here for kindness is that huge truth called chesed, covenant keeping, loving mercy. This woman, when she speaks, she's not critical, she's not condemning, she's not judging, she's not contentious. No! There's a graciousness, there's a merciful spirit, there's just such a big heartedness, there's a kindness. Praise her for that. That's such a good quality. It begets more kindness. Then finally, the last 2 points, at least I'll make here, is she looks well to the ways of her household. And the ways is another word for roads, pathways. And you think about some of your households. You know how challenging and complex life is today for us? You may have 4 kids. They may be on 4 different school schedules. And those 4 kids may be on 4 different sports schedules. And those 4 kids may be on whatever other schedules. And the mom here has to be this keeper of the house, this manager who looks well, understands the calendar, understands the schedule, can see it all, coordinate it all. She might have 6 iPads running. You know, she's working on plans and details and keeping it all together. Praise her for that. Praise her for being a good keeper of the house. And he is not the bread of idleness. Good night. Here we are again. It ends with this work ethic. So this morning, you know, 36 different topics. You're not going to go over all of them at lunch this afternoon, but maybe pick up 1 or 2. And if she asks for more, be prepared to give more. He who hesitates is dead. Right? Who can find such a woman? Her price is far above rubies. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And then it concludes with this. It's fantastic. This is so important. Favor is deceitful. And beauty, it's vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. At the root of the whole passage is a woman who has a respect and a love for God that's right. It's her foundation. It's her axis. It's everything to her. She loves God. She walks with God. And because God is love, she's able to tap into that love source, and now she can love. It puts it all into perspective. That woman who loves the Lord, my, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. It's a woman's greatest virtue, and it's the man's greatest virtue, is to fear and to love God. And for the woman who has this foundation and this relationship with God, she's going to be rewarded. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise and negate. She's going to be recognized. She'll be honored. So this morning, as we close, the ABCs of praising mothers. Children should rise up, call her blessed, get more specific. Praise her for the different reasons. And then her husband also, he praises her. And there's the power of praise. In way too many homes, there's hardly ever a thank you stated. There's hardly ever something praiseworthy given. May we cultivate in our homes and our relationships a praise for God and a proper and a fitting praise for others. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our moms. Thank you for our wives. Lord, we know in all of our lives,